What is the difference between something that is holy and something that is common? Why is it important to distinguish between the two? Listen, grab your Bible, come on back. In just a minute, we're going to be looking at the holy and the common from the book of Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday evening Bible study of Central Baptist Church. We're glad you're joining us this evening. If you have that Bible, go ahead and turn it on over to the book of Leviticus chapter 10. Just a moment ago, I asked you, what was the difference between something that is holy and something that is considered to be common? When I think about that, I can think about maybe days gone by where that was actually a term that was used. And more so, I saw that happen along the line of how somebody was addressing someone else. And it wasn't necessarily holy versus something that was common, but it was something that was more of a higher standard. In other words, you would see where somebody may address somebody as Mr. when they were actually a doctor. So they would say, well, Mr. So-and-so. And then often somebody would correct them and say, well, that's Dr. So-and-so. And that was just one of the cases of addressing something that was of a higher standard in a common way. Now, what we want to look at today in the passages really is the difference between something that is holy and something that is common. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Leviticus chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them." Verse 2, "So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near me, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, do not uncover your heads, nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. Verse 7, you shall not go out from your door of the tabernacle of meetings, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Verse 8, then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you during this time, we once again ask that your spirit would rest upon us. We ask that you would be with us today, Father, as we take this time to gather around your word. May you reveal to us, Lord, any areas of our lives where we might be just taking the things that are holy and making them unholy by our actions. Lord, give us a clear insight. Let the Spirit speak to us today in a way that is loud, clear, and mighty in each and every one of our hearts. And Father, I again ask that you would be with me as your messenger for these moments, that we would truly have the opportunity to lift you up as you speak to your people. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yeah, in our story today, there were two priests that made the mistake of treating as common something that was holy. Now, when we think about it, it talks about Nadab and Abihu, and they were given some special privileges. Let's look at verse 1. It tells us what those were. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Now, when we consider the things that were taking place, back in the temple of that day, and as things were in the days of the Old Testament, the Lord had very specific designs on how worship was supposed to take place, in the temple, how things were supposed to go, even how things were to be made, even the instrumentation that was used when it came down to worship him. You have to remember that back in that day, the Ark of the Covenant, which rested in the Holy of Holies, represented the presence of God. Yeah, again, this was Old Testament. This is not like our day in the age of grace when, as born-again believers, we have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7 from the time that we receive Christ. We have the Holy Spirit. You got to remember in the Old Testament days, it said, and the Spirit would come upon them. Well, God gave very specific orders on how worship was supposed to take place. And these two priests made a mistake. Now, you can call it a mistake, whether it was by accident or on purpose. I don't know. The scripture doesn't tell us that. But essentially what it does tell us that they made the mistake of treating something as common that should have been treated as something that was holy. Now, notice in that verse what it says in reference to the fire. I think that all the other things were proper and were in order, but it says in verse 10, it says, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. Okay, so like I said a minute ago, there was a reasoning behind why and how they had to do the things that they did concerning worship. So, it could have been as simple as, well, the Lord said, here's how the fire would come. This is what you would have to do in preparation for even the fire that would be used in elements of worship. And maybe they were running behind, whatever it may have been. They said, oh, we'll just use this. We'll just, take a log off of the fire over here. And it cost them their lives. Now, when we consider this, these were two priests. These were guys that knew better. They knew how it was supposed to go. How many times do we know the shortcuts that we're taking when it comes down to holiness? And when I'm talking about holiness, I'm talking about holiness in our lives. How many shortcuts do we take when we know? We get ready to do something and the Holy Spirit says, that's not what God says. That's not the way God ordered it to be done. You are making something that is holy become something that is common. We do that in our lives almost on a daily basis in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So these two priests had been given special privileges. Not everybody had the opportunity to serve in the manner in which they serve. Yeah, they had their responsibilities and they were supposed to follow the rules of the Lord in order to make sure that this was done and done properly in keeping with the way the Lord had told them to do it. So folks, how many times are we taking shortcuts to holiness? How many times are we taking the things of God that are holy and making them common? I see a lot of that taking place in our day and age. I mean, how much of the holiness have we taken down from our worship, from our worship services, from our personal time with the Lord? And we have made it more common. If that's you today, then I want to caution you. God gave a very critical, crucial, important lesson to all the people over the death of Nadab and Abihu in this particular passage. And he told them why. He said, they used profane fire. Okay. Now, I just want to say this because it's an age old adage, and yet it is still true today, that with responsibilities comes great and special privileges. If God has called you to a particular area, which he has in some way, shape, form, or fashion, he has given you some special privilege in that area. Yeah, I've said this many, many times that the word tells us that the body is made up of many members. Not everybody has the same talents and abilities. I joke around a lot and much truth has often been said in jest. I can't carry a tune in a bucket when it comes down to singing. But I'm grateful for those that God has placed in my life, around me, in our church, that when they lift their voice in song toward the Lord, it creates an atmosphere of worship. It creates this glorious place of coming into the presence of God. It does that for me. It helps me to worship, even though I am not good at doing that. So with that special privilege comes a responsibility. Are you using what God has given you to honor and to glorify Him, or are you using it in a more common way? Now, what we say, this became a situation with these two priests that they made something holy common, and it cost them their lives. Yeah, how many times have we taken the holiness away from our meeting with God? How many times have we taken that away from our quiet time, or the time that we spend in His Word? How many times have we done that as churches across the world, and we've taken this very special time to meet with God, and we've made it common? We have taken the holiness out of it. Yeah, I want to remind you once again that it wasn't too many weeks ago that we were talking about Moses, and when Moses went and approached the burning bush, remember those passages? What did God tell him to do? God told him he needed to remove his sandals because the place that he was standing was holy ground. It wasn't common ground. It was holy ground. It was something that God was had a part of. It was the presence of God right there. And because of that, it was no longer just simply ground that he tended sheep on. It was holy because God had shown up there. Listen, how many times does God show up in your circumstances and you turn out making something holy into something common? With responsibilities that God has given you come some very special privileges. Are we adhering to those? Is God happy with our worship to Him? Is God happy with how we recognize and how we tend to holiness in our lives? Okay. Now, what was the sin that Nadab and Abihu committed before the Lord? They used the profane fire. Okay. If you go back, you'll probably be able to look through God's Word and see the specifics of where they messed that up. Now think about it for a minute. Depending on what translation you're using, some of them will say they used unauthorized or strange fire. What does that mean? It means that they didn't follow the rules that God put out there. They just decided, well, this is good enough. I'll just use it. Listen, folks, when God tells you how to do something, He gives you the way to do something, He doesn't mean for you to come in and try to change it around in such a fashion that it works better for you or that it's more convenient for you, particularly those things that He has earmarked as holy. Another example that I can think of is, if you remember, God gave specific instructions as to how the Ark of the Covenant was to be transported. It was to be transported by taking the poles and slipping them through the eyelets on each side. It was only to be carried by the priest that came from the tribe of Levi. And if you will remember, there was a time when David decided to have the Ark transported, and they didn't do it that way. They just decided it would be easier to put it on an ox cart, and that's what they did. If you recall the passages, it says that the oxen stumbled, the Ark of the Covenant shifted, and Uzzah, who was walking along beside it, whether it was just a natural reaction or whatever it may have been, reached up to steady the Ark. And when he touched the Ark, his life was gone. He dropped dead right there. Why? Because you do not, you and I can't even come into the presence of the holiness of God. That's why the Word says no man has ever seen God and lived, because He is so holy. So He doesn't want us to take the holy things and make them common. So when we look at this this passage, it says that these two priests used either unauthorized or strange type fire. In other words, they didn't follow the rules that God gave them into how this was supposed to be done. And as we know, verse 2 tells us what the consequence of that was. It says, so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. That quick. You know, there was no, hey, you guys are using the wrong type of fire. You didn't go through the process to have it cleansed before it was used. Here's the thing. They knew that. This was not accidental. They knew what God had told them to do. And what they did was they tried to make it more convenient for them. They tried to make it easier for them. And folks, there are no shortcuts when it comes to following what it is that God would have for you to do. So why do you think that the Lord did this? Because he doesn't put up with somebody encroaching on his holiness. God is holy. And when God says this is how it's supposed to be, particularly when it comes down to the situation of worship in the temple, you got to remember, this may have been the time when the chief priest was going to go in and offer the sacrifices for the atonement of the sins of all the people. It was very specific. And he said, you follow my orders in doing so. So that is the reason why the Lord did it. The Lord didn't do it because he was just deciding to be mean to them. It was because of their lack of obedience. It was because of their lack of following very specific guidelines that had been put out there that it cost them their lives. You don't encroach on the holiness of God or the things that God has deemed holy. Okay, so yeah, consider that in our lives today. How many things in our lives are we categorizing or using as unauthorized or strange fire when it comes down to how we're worshiping, or when it comes down to the holiness of God, or when it comes down to the holiness of ourselves? God has called us, each and every one, to be holy in his sight and to be holy in his presence. Are we doing that, or are we taking things that are supposed to be holy and making them common? Okay. Now, a lot of people would sit back and say, well, what difference does it make? Fire is fire. The difference is made is that one was considered holy and one is considered common. Now you're starting to get the understanding of the difference between holy and common. Yeah. I mean, you would sit back and say, well, fire's fire. You know, if I burn a fire over here, what's the difference between a fire that has gone through the cleansing process? Well, that's the difference. It has gone through the cleansing process, which God had offered. So you don't just take something that's holy and turn it into something that is common, especially when it comes down to worship in the presence of the Lord. So let me ask you this question. How many things today has the Holy Spirit put on our hearts that we are that should be holy, or things that are holy that we have made common in his presence? Could it be your worship, how you worship, what you do in your worship, how and where you're spending time with him, how and where you're speaking with him? Have we made it just something common? I could get into a lot of different examples of how people may look at things between generations. And when I say generations, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Different generations look at things in a different way. I can still remember growing up as a small boy, and many of you that are watching this broadcast can remember it as well. You can remember times when no stores were open on Sundays. They had blue laws. Even Chick-fil-A, even in this day and age, is not open on Sunday. You know, that's the Lord's Day, as we call it, the Lord's Day, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, even though we do that on Sunday, even though the Sabbath is really on Saturday. We observe that day, the day to be able to spend time with him. But look, that's what that used to be. It used to be the time that was considered a time of spending with the Father, a time of you know, going to worship, going and spending time with family and worship, spending time in God's word, and all those things that day was designed around. Now, let me ask you this. Does Sunday in 2022 look like Sunday did in 1962? Most of you would sit back and go, no, it doesn't. Sunday today looks just simply like another day. Okay. Now, it's interesting what Moses said to Aaron right after the death of his sons. Okay. You know, we know what happened. We know that they put the unauthorized fire, and it says that the fire came out and consumed them. So Moses says this to Aaron, whose two sons have just been burned up. In verse 3, he says, and Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. In other words, what happened was Aaron's sons got a little too close to God in a common way. God says, I am holy, and you need to remember that. You don't approach me. You know, there have been times where maybe somebody has said, I saw this as a police officer in a court of law. There was a certain area that you didn't pass. And if you've ever been in a courtroom or ever seen real life court, you have seen how this works. Yeah, even the judges that are present will have to ask the judge, Judge, may I approach the bench? You just don't go near that judge. It's in honor of who that judge is. It is in honor of that title that you must get permission to even request a meeting with the judge at the bench, and then you must be summoned to come forward. If you cross a certain line that's unauthorized, there is a deputy sheriff bailiff that is going to either take you down or put you back across that line because you didn't have permission to come across that. Now, that's an earthly scenario that's somewhat like this. God says this. He says, man, I love you. I want to do for you, but you have to understand that I am holy and I am not going to discount you're not treating me in a manner that holiness ascribes to. So because of what Aaron's sons did, it cost them their lives. And Moses is interpreting what God said to Aaron. He's telling him why this is. Now look again there at verse 3. If you'll look, this is in quotes. It says, by those who, this is what God is saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. In other words, they weren't regarding him as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And it cost them their lives because they made that mistake. Now, here's the thing. That wasn't an accidental mistake. They knew what they did. That was on purpose. And God said, no, no, when you come into my presence, I am going to be treated as holy. I am not going to be treated as something that is common. Now, why is that significant today? Let me tell you why. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. When we still come into his presence, we need to do so understanding that we are coming into the presence of holiness. Like what he told Moses, remove your sandals, the place you're standing is on holy ground. He says, when you come into my presence, you need to remember, because that way I'm going to be honored and I am going to be glorified. Okay. Now notice at the end of that particular verse, it says, and Aaron held his peace. Why do you think Aaron held his peace? Again, this might be speculation, but I think Aaron, first of all, realized that the mistake was on his boy's behalf. And second of all, if you want to try to argue with God about his holiness, that's a battle that you're going to lose. He did the smartest thing that he could do at that point was by holding his peace and by not saying anything against what had taken place, even though he had just lost two of his sons. Now, there was a specific command that the Lord gave to Aaron after his sons were taken away. Now, God says, here's something that I'm going to command you to do. Now, verses 8 through 10 give us what that command is. It says, then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. Now, this might give us a little indicator as to what took place with Aaron's two boys. They may have been intoxicated at the time. You know, why do I say that? Because the Lord gave something very, very specific in regard to how we go forward. Now, notice what he said in verse 9. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons, when you go into the tabernacle. Yeah, it could have been that these two boys maybe were a little on the intoxicated side. Maybe the mistake was that they weren't thinking about it. Maybe the mistake is that they were lazy. But the bottom line is they crossed a line in the mistake that they made. This tells us a little something, or gives an implication about the deaths of Nadab and Abihu is that there's the possibility that they were intoxicated when they were getting ready to go about their service as priest unto the Lord. Okay, now, yeah, how does strong drink impair our judgments and lead us to make bad choices? If you've ever been around that, if you have ever been around somebody who is an alcoholic, or if you've ever struggled with that yourself, you will see that when somebody is intoxicated, they will make impaired decisions. They will have bad judgments about what they do. Look at the old adage about drinking and driving. People sit back and say, "Oh, I'm fine," and they'll go out and get in an automobile and they'll have an accident, or they'll wind up injuring themselves or somebody else, or they'll wind up being pulled over by the police and cited with the DUI, causing all kinds of problems. There is just this endless ravel of problems that comes with that. So there is an implication that these two boys may have been intoxicated at the time that they were going to go in and do service for the Lord. And not only the fact, they made some bad judgments. They made a bad judgment call. "Well, you know, we're not going to go ahead. The fire's fine. This fire's okay. We'll just use it instead of doing it the way God has prescribed." And it was a very, very costly mistake that they made. Or I don't want to call it a mistake. They made a mistake along the way, whether it was on purpose or accidental. Maybe it was because their judgment was impaired. But the bottom line is, God issued a decree to Aaron from that point forward. You nor your sons or anybody else that's going to be doing service, go in intoxicated. Now, if you, like I say, you don't have to trust my word for it. I don't want you to trust my word. Go look at verses 8 through 10, and it will tell you those specifics in regard to that. So there's that implication that that's what had taken place with these two boys. So most of us know how strong drink can impair our judgments and so how it can lead us to bad choices. So there's some food for thought, some things to think about if you partake when it comes down to alcoholic beverages. Now, can you think of some other examples of this scripture today in real life? Can you think of some other things that we do that really just cloud our judgment or cloud our vision and have us doing things or making things that should be holy or that are holy, making them common? I want you to think about those things for a moment. By the way, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in what the answers to those particular questions are. Because if He's leading you to them, then what's going to happen is He's going to want you to make some correction along the way. Okay? What does it mean to distinguish between holy and common and between unclean and clean? We read about that in verse 10. The things that God has had His hands on, the things that God has specifically said, "Here are some things that I want you to do." Here, we use the term often, this has been a touch of God. This has been a God thing. Then it is a godly thing, not an unclean thing, not something. And it doesn't matter what the article, the situation, or the issue is. It can be unclean until touched by God and made clean. You know, but matter of fact, the book of Leviticus gives us all kinds of verbiage in the law where it talks about, you know, even items that were unclean. Or if a person were to touch, and let me just give you an example. If a person were to touch the carcass of a dead animal, then they would be unclean. There was a ceremony for them to become clean once again. Okay. So how do you distinguish between that? Listen, what does God have His hands in, and what is God doing, and what is God giving instruction in? Those are the things that are clean and unclean. And here's the thing, as difficult as that question may seem for you to answer when I ask it, it's not hard to answer when God brings it forth in your heart and when God brings it forth as you're going forward. You know the things that are touched of God that are considered to be clean and the things that are unclean. You know when you are clean versus unclean. In the nature, the sin nature that we tend to walk in. Now, I just want to make this point. When we trusted Christ, you know, the old sin nature didn't just go away. It's still there. So you got the battle between the godly nature and the old sinful nature that's going on all the time in your life. Yet, which one are you choosing? Now, when it comes down to things clean versus unclean, how do you know what is holy? How do you know what is common? You have to listen to what God is telling you, okay? Yeah, and by the way, those things can change. Like I said, there was fire over here. That fire was considered unclean. Now, it was unclean for the service and worship of the Lord. That didn't make it unclean to take and use to maybe cook dinner with. You know, it was perfectly fine for that. But when it came to offering that to God, then it was unclean until it had gone through the ceremonial cleaning or ceremonial cleansing to be used in service for the Lord. Okay. Hope that makes a little bit more sense to you. Now, Nadab and Abihu had violated this principle because, you know, all of a sudden it was for them. It was like, well, this is fire. This will do the job. You know, maybe what was okay to cook with over here was certainly not okay to be used in the practices of the tabernacle because God had given them what the principles and what the oracles and what the process was for worship in his presence to take place because he is holy. He is clean. He is not common and he is not unclean. And he says, don't be bringing that around here. You bring me the best that you have. Okay. We always talk about as we go through our Bible studies, looking at a command to obey. All right. This is a command to obey. You know, we need to make sure that we are not making the holy things that are common. And we need to make sure that we're not trying to offer to God the things that are common when he has called us to offer things that are holy. Yeah, you know, what is the sacrifice that you and I put forth? Yeah, you know, think about our personal worship. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's going to lead you to the answer to those questions, and it'll be different for every viewer that's watching. There are some things the Holy Spirit is probably putting on your heart right now that you have made common that should be holy in your life. Things that maybe you are offering to God that should be holy, but yet are common. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide, okay? Now, can you think of some examples today where people fail to distinguish the difference between holy and common? I'm sure that if you and I could interact on a one-on-one basis, or if we were sitting in the same room, you could probably say, well, I think this, and I think that, A, B, and C. And a lot of you would probably even think about how worship takes place in this day and age, in 2022. You would look back and you would say, you know what, it doesn't seem as, when we come together, it doesn't seem as holy as it used to be. And you would be right about that. You know, the difference is not what the crowd's doing. The difference can be what you're doing. What is it that you are doing in your life to make sure that you are offering what is holy before the Lord rather than accepting or presenting what is common to him? Okay. So think about this. If we consider that and the Holy Spirit's put on our hearts some of the things that we are presenting to him as holy that are common, what's the consequence? What are potential consequences of violating this failure? You know, remember what God said. God said, look, you know, there's certain things that they're not negotiable. There are certain things you're not going to get a warning on. You know, when the ark slipped and Uzzah reached his hand up and caught it, God didn't say, look, Uzzah, man, you need to have a talk. You're not supposed to touch that. No. Boom. He was gone just like that. When Aaron's two sons, the priest, went in with the forbidden fire, the common thing, it was immediate. The fire came out and took them out. They violated the consequences. And what was it that God said to them? God said, there's a reason why the action took place that took place. And it is so that everybody's going to understand, A, God is holy. That's A. And B, that the world is going to see that, okay? It's personal and it's corporate, okay? It was personal to them. They didn't consider their mistake before God, and God said there's a consequence to be paid for that. And in doing so, it was an example to all the people that you do not present something that is common as something that is holy. He says that God is going to be honored no matter what, okay? So what actions can you take that will help you to distinguish between holy and common things? Think about that. Now, like I said a minute ago, that's different for each and every one of us because we have different things the Holy Spirit is putting in our hearts and minds about, you know, what we're violating in regard to holy versus common, okay? Now, think about this. What are some ways that you can help others with circumstances and situations such as this? when we consider our lives. You know, God gave his only begotten son and shed his blood that you and I might have eternal life. That was a very expensive payment for you and I. That was a very expensive payment for every sin, past, present, and future. And God expects us as his children to walk like his children. You know, I think that too many times people have this thing that says, well, God's this big lovable grandpa and you crawl up in his lap and you can hug on him and he's going to love you. And he is. I'm not going to take that away. He is. But let me tell you what else he is. He is the same God who is a God of judgment, who will not allow sin to go unpunished. So you need to remember that as well. What we need to do today is we need to pray for God to give us wisdom to distinguish between what is holy and what is common. Okay? We have trouble with that in our society today. So let's do that. Let's pray for one another and pray for God to give us the wisdom to distinguish the difference between the holy and the common, especially when it comes to being in his presence with the things he's called us to do. Okay. Right before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and give you what your Bible readings for this week are. This week's Bible readings will be Numbers chapter 11 through Numbers chapter 14 and Numbers chapter 16. Now I'll give that to you again because there's a little break there. So it's Numbers chapter 11 through Numbers chapter 14 and Numbers chapter 16. And next week, we're going to discuss the report of the 12 spies. We'll look forward to having you with us on that discussion, okay? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, Lord, we look at this example that you give us. And Father, throughout your word, you have given us examples, and you've done so for a reason. You've given us examples that we might be able to follow you in a way that's pleasing to you. Father, help us as we listen to the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives. And Lord, help us to understand where we may be offering to you something that is common rather than something that is holy. Help us, Lord, in every thought and action that we have to truly strive for holiness within our lives and in our relationship with you. Because God, you are God and there is none like you. You are the great I am. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each and every family who has seen fit to gather around your word this evening. And Lord, I just pray you'll give them just an extra portion of your grace and help, Father, to send us to somebody this week that needs to hear more about you, to know more about you, and give us the strength and courage to show them along the way that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes unto the Father but by you. So, Father, we do ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey, guys, listen, we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. May God bless you, and I pray you have a great rest of your week.